Hey everybody, Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I am super excited to welcome Freddie D'Angelo Studios to the show. They are now a proud sponsor, and if you don't know Freddie D'Angelo Studios, they are a full-service media production company based out of St. Louis and serving clients worldwide. Where if you can dream it, they can create it. Check out FDS all over your social media. You can get involved with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out freddiedangelo.com for all your video and photo needs. If you haven't met Freddie yet, you've probably seen him around shows or seen some of his work online. He's just been doing some amazing things with his camera. So get involved. Check it all out. Again, freddiedangelo.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Worthy disappeared.
And you're about to party with Pookie on the Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah. I can't even say it right. Record that shit again.
That was perfect.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock
Paper Podcast.
Everybody, Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with the guys of The Disappeared. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Pookie.
Hi, I'm Pookie.
Hi,
my name's Justin.
I'm Pookie. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, man, this is cool. Like, this is very exciting stuff for me, guys. So getting to kind of catch up, because... you know, you guys are, I've been following you guys for a while, like, in other projects. This is the first I've really gotten to talk about The Disappeared, so, and which I don't know a lot about it. So that was kind of the cool thing. I've been doing a little bit of homework since you guys,
we're pretty much legends.
We're off.
Yeah.
It's not everybody.
Cookie said it.
Yeah, man.
That's it.
Yep, that's it.
It's gospel. What would you like to know?
Yeah. Well, I guess let's you guys want to introduce yourselves for those listening. And
I'm Boogie.
I'm Dan.
I'm Brad. My name's Gabe. I play drums and every other instrument known to man.
You're still Gabe.
You're so good and handsome, Gabe. How did you get so attractive? Kinetics. Yeah. Yeah, just a quick sidebar. We've all seen Tango and Cash, the part where they're riding in the car and they pull out the guns and he says, why is yours bigger than mine? Kinetics.
Yeah.
Anyway, we started in about 2007.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day, though.
When did we really start?
I think maybe when you and me first started talking about starting the band was probably in like 2006.
Right.
Because Picture Book was done in like 2005.
Mm-hmm. And then we wanted to do a simple punk rock band that was like Bouncing Souls that was going to be like three chord punk anthems.
You were going to teach me how to play bass. That never happened.
And it turned into the most weird hardcore punk band ever.
Long story short, we put our first 7-inch out in 2007 with a drummer who I think I had maybe known for about 6 months and like a 17-year-old dishwasher from Dan's.
He's a busboy.
The
Wonder Boy.
The Wonder Boy. One of the best dudes ever.
Yeah, shout out to John Stefanski.
Thad Martin.
Thad Martin. Thad. Was our original drummer. He's the drummer of Ashes and Iron, who used to be This Incredible Machine, who used to be, I think they've been
whatever,
three
yeah.
names or something.
And then John went to college, so he got fired for trying to...
Yeah, that's a tough convo to have in his life.
Yeah, I had to call him. He was upset, but
sorry.
He'll always be a member of this band. And we even had... We did a show one time where he played drums and Gabe played... Gabe and I both played guitar, and we did like Quicksand and Helmet covers. That will always be our friend.
We did that a couple times, didn't we? Didn't we do it at AB's once?
Yeah.
And then we did it at the Heavy Anchor for Darren's birthday party.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We played all those
Lifetime songs and stuff.
Lifetime, Saves the Day, Hot Water.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, yeah.
Pookie joined the band before I did, which was what? When?
Probably 2008.
I don't know. We don't know anything about time.
That's probably 2008, because 2007 I was still... Calico,
because we met you through Thad, who I knew from my wife now, who is friends with all Mark from Calico System and a lot of the people that whole group of people. Thad said, "Hey,
you can get this guy."
I didn't want to do the impression I was going for.
Well, when we got Pookie, Pookie was working at a casino. He had sold all his bass equipment, and he was working at a casino, and he had shaved all the hair off his body so they couldn't do a weed test. He told the guy, "I'm disgusted by body hair."
That's a true story.
So then we hired him.
That job didn't last long, dude.
I didn't want to get. I needed a job because the place where I was working was closing down. So I had to take a drug test, and I don't know. I was just smoking a bunch of weed right then. Sorry, Mom.
You know.
And so like, and then they were like, "Oh, you got to do a drug test," but it was a hair follicle test. So I became an expert online. You know, I'm like, "Oh shit, you can't get around this." So my head was already bald, and I was like, "Well, I'm just going to go all in." And I shaved it all off. And the dude asked me, he was like, "Yeah, well, obviously I can't take care of from your head." And he's like, "Can I take care of from your legs?" And I was like, He goes, "What about your chest?" And I showed him, and he looked at me kind of funny, and I was like, "I'm just really disgusted by body hair." And he gave me that look like,
wasn't at all suspicious.
Like, he was like, "Go over to this place and take a piss test," and I passed that just fine. But that job kind of sucked.
It didn't take long after hearing that story that we knew
Pookie
was.
Yeah, Pookie's the right man for the job.
The right man for the job.
But I didn't play that many shows with you before we got Gabe, right?
Probably not.
No.
That whole time period to me was like very jumbled.
Yeah, and then Thad wanted to leave to do the other band, and he is the one who actually put us on. Gabe was like, "Oh, you should check this dude out."
I think we were both like at the time having
play
like,
real
mutual
fast.
Thad kind of wasn't into it anymore, and we could tell that Thad wasn't really into it anymore. So I think I met him up at a little bar. It's closed now.
torn. Besides plane?
No, it was in the corner, right by his house, at the corner of Morgan Ford and
Hilltop?
Bates. Yeah, Hilltop. I met him up there. And, yeah, Thad, I don't think this is going to work.
It's cool, man.
So to make this all make sense for anybody that listens to this, this is a band from 2006 or 7 till 2015. Played our last show. Kind of didn't really break up. Just played. We were all busy and doing different stuff.
Yeah.
And then we just currently started playing again and booked kind of a, you know, a comeback show of sorts and plan on playing more in the future.
Yeah.
So.
Gabe joined the band sometime in that time frame.
Yeah, I met Gabe at the Red Sea for a Hot Atomic show.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, hey, you want to be in our band? And he said, hey, let's do a shot, and then we'll talk about it. Then we had like 30 million shots.
And we talked about it.
Yeah, man, all right.
So I think that this incarnation of this band has been together for 10 years.
Yeah.
Very cool, man. Well, like Gabe said, you guys do have a show April 14th at the Sinkhole, and this will be the big reunion. We got all local lineup with Breakmouth Annie.
Yes.
Best band ever.
Better Days and Shitstorm.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Lots of Shitstorm rock dudes.
Matt Stutler's band from the Sinkhole, and he is an incredible sweetheart.
Yeah.
Super
lovely. Sinkhole rips, so
I'm pretty stoked on the one.
Better Days are our old friends.
Better see you down there, microphone.
Yeah. Hey, microphone.
Yeah, I just had Matt and Shitstorm and recorded at Sinkhole on the show. So nice. Yeah.
I listened to it.
Yeah, that was a good time, man.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah.
And so, Bob Monroe is also the best. Just singer and songwriter.
We know a lot of best dudes.
And Better Days are the best.
Very good musicians. Rippers. Best dudes.
Yeah. So that'll be a stacked lineup and a whole lot of fun down there. So, and that's a Saturday night, so come on out and play.
Yeah, it's the week before my wedding, so come get crisp and rip them. It's going to be fun. Let's get bombed, eh?
It was literally like, okay, these are like the 5 dates of the entire summer that we could probably do this show. When should we do it? Okay, this seems pretty cool. Oh, Dan, you're getting married the next week. Well, let me go home and run this one by.
Yeah. We're at the point in our lives where we have to schedule practices 2 months in advance.
All right.
Compare calendars, put practices on the calendars. Yeah. So.
Yep.
Yeah. You know.
So you guys said, I mean, like 10 years of history there. Like, you guys recorded a couple of records together, right? We got
3 or 4 EPs.
We got 4 releases, 3 EPs, 1 full length. The first record.
So the original lineup.
The first record was with the original lineup with Thad on drums and Wonder Boy on bass. We put out a 7-inch that had 2 songs on it, and then it also was accompanied by a CD that had 5, and I think they were both called different things, so I don't really remember exactly what that release was called, but I remember when it came out, we were sitting at O'Connell's.
All out here.
Oh, geez.
And this was like before any of this encapsulated stuff had happened, even kind of maybe right at the beginning of I Hate Punk Rock, and Mike Jones was, he heard me and Dan talking about this new project that we had, and he's like, you guys want to put out a 7-inch?
Yes.
Yeah. You gonna do it? You gonna help us put it out? Yeah. Yeah, I'll put it out on I Hate Punk Rock. I'm like, cool. I want to say it was the first I Hate Punk Rock release, proper release.
Which is what encapsulated records used to be.
Right.
Yeah. Mike helped us with everything. Like every record that we put out. Mike,
he did a lot for us.
Mike helped us a lot.
Was that the first release? Did you just say that?
That was the first release. So, and that was kind of that was his first foray into like vinyl had kind of just started picking up steam. And like, so it was like the first vinyl release. And me and him kind of learned on the fly of like picking colors and like what pressing plant to use. And it was a long process. It took like 6 months like for the thing to come out, and then you know things kind of snowballed from there, and I think we put out Radical Miracle next, and that was with this current lineup.
Yeah,
that was a 5-song 12-inch.
Yeah, and right before that we were one of the best unsigned bands in America in alternative press.
Alternative press, yep. Took us real far.
Which was, yeah. Wow. Boy, the snowball effect from
back
that.
Back then, when, I mean, when AP still had a little bit of cred.
He got us a little buzz, though, yeah.
It was awesome.
A little bit of buzz, and pretty much got us to be able to play the fest down in Florida.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I don't think if we would have ever been in AP, if we would have never been in AP, we probably would have never played the fest.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. And, so we put out that record, then we put out another 7-inch after that. It had 4 songs on it, I think. Nothing, Someone, Something. And then after that, we put out our full length in 2011. And that was our last record.
Yeah.
So.
Now we're back.
Yeah.
Now we're back.
We're back.
Make some slower songs this year.
See about that.
Nah.
But Mike helped us with all that
stuff.
We
play slow, I'll play fast, and we'll work them together.
Mike used to jump in the van with us and go on our tours and weekends and... You know, we go to Crazy Fest and he would pee in the bed and not tell anybody, and then Brad sat in it and that was pretty funny. And
I did.
We had some possibly snored worse than I did on some nights.
I slept in his urine.
I think you just sat in it.
Yeah, I smelled it and he was like, Brad. Mike, I was like, yeah, it's pee. And Mike was like, oh, that's mine.
Thanks for telling anybody.
That's why you're in the shower.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Yeah. No, Mike. Those early days of like the label and I Hate Punk Rock, and then kind of changing over to Encapsulated, and when this whole studio got built. I mean,
we were in here hammering nails and cutting wood and
hanging ceiling and
all right. These guys from Bent Left were up here doing it too.
Listen, the entire place like started because me and Mike were. Trying to start screen printing all of our own merch and our own t-shirts and everything, and we were going to start a screen printing shop and
paper thin press
is what it was called.
Hot Water Music,
named after a Hot Water Music song,
greatest band of all time.
And you know, we were constantly just like looking for a space because we were doing it out of Mike's basement at the time. He was still running the label out of the basement, and he texted me where I think I found this place on Craigslist one time. Like one day I'm like, hey, check this, wouldn't this place be cool? It's like in Maplewood, it's like this big warehouse. And he's like, you know, that's funny. A week later, he's like, I went to the auction for that place and I bought it for however much he bought it for, and now it's this
a good deal
rad ass studio community that he's built it into, and recording space, and you know, it's crazy how far this place has come since.
Yeah, man,
by now you figured out that we're at Encapsulated Studios,
right? Yep. Yeah, man, all kinds of my favorite records of recent years have been coming out of Encapsulated, so...
But we have never recorded.
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
We've never recorded in this...
Yeah, we always recorded in Gabe's basement. Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe late in this summer
last
we'll fire up some new jams in here.
Yeah. The
last thing we recorded was probably a year or at least 6 months before this place existed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy all the work that went in.
Now we're about 6 years deep here, so. All
right.
Next thing we record will be.
Where did we record Drifting Down? In your house?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a song that we.
I recorded the vocals up on your little mixing.
Just kind of released on Bandcamp. Didn't really put much behind it. We just were like, let's record this song. And
I think it was for like a fest comp or something like that.
Yeah.
Got put on a fest comp or something.
Yeah. So you guys. I guess you guys have been writing and stuff. You said you got some new things.
Dan's got some licks.
I got a couple in the tank. They're pretty weird time signatures, as always. And like, there's one that we got, one that we've been messing around with. That's kind of a slowy, quicksand jam. But that's what we do. We somehow craft every song. Every song is the disappeared song, but it's different. We never gave a shit about being a certain type of band. We always played really upbeat, positive music and tried to just... We had three dudes that played the music in really crazy ways, and then a singer went crazy and sang. And I feel like every show that we played, we would go on tour and do these shows, and holy shit was what everybody said. And we would open for national acts and they would be like, fuck you guys. what the fuck was that? Like, cool, cheers.
I was just thinking about that.
And that was the intent, was just to just blow minds and hopefully make kids and people feel the way that we felt when we saw bands like H2O or Sick of It All and all these awesome old punk rock and hardcore bands and be like, God damn, that was so cool. But that was just the intention of the band, was to just...
I don't think we've ever, since we first started the band, have ever purposely tried to, like, sound like another band or another genre of, like, punk rock. You know, we were just... Let's play some songs, you know what I mean? Me and Dan have been playing music together since...
90s?
99, and then bands have been playing together since 97, you know? Right. So me and him are super comfortable, like, I think... You know, the way that I write my lyrics, just I'm so used to his style of guitar playing, and it's always been so different.
it's always a challenge. Sorry.
The songs usually start with Dan will come to practice and just have a riff or two or three or whatever, and we'll kind of start to just play them and then rearrange and then just kind of mold it from there, and the song. We'll just slowly take shape. It's never like, here's a song, here's what you do, here's what I do, like, I don't think front there to back. Is. It's kind of a, you know, we usually write, you know, although it might be Dan's riffs, we'll kind of put it all together and structure it as a song, as a band. You know?
I don't know how many people, like, really, and this isn't like a shot at anybody, but, like, if you were just listening to the music, you'd be like, that's Pookie playing bass. That's Dan playing guitar. That's Gabe playing drums. You know what I mean? It's, I think everybody in this band has such a unique sound and like the way that they play and their influences and everything. That's what I think has made our band unique over the last however many years. Is, you know, it's punk rock. It's always going to be punk rock. But people are like, damn, that's, you know. If you look at like, if you've gone to any of our shows and like, after the shows, the people that like come up to us are like just people you would not even expect to like be into our music. Like, that was so fucking awesome, man. And they're not like a punk rock kid. They're just like, you know, I think that's kind of like...
They just feel the energy.
Yeah. You know, it's...
All four of us radiate energy. And the crazy thing is that we really try to put out an incredible product that is blood and guts on the floor every night. But before the show, after the show, we're friends.
Yeah.
And it was, we never argued about anything. We never yelled at each other about set list or songs or lyrics or anything. It was
it's not that big of a
cool
deal.
Shows over. Let's get pizza, rip beers, watch the baseball game, get in the band, dude. Like, let's go to this party and dance. Yeah. And
never let the band become more important than your friendship.
You know? We're always a band of buds, you know. Any band who's been out there on the road at all like knows like every once in a while you have a shitty show, and that was what's cool about this one, because even though we had like a crappy show or just like whatever, we're in a city we've never been in, not a lot of people here, us four would just fucking just party and like
those were the best shows. Those were the funnest. Yeah, those were not the best shows, but the funnest times.
You have to
And Pookie was always the ambassador of like, all right. We're in Richmond, Virginia, and there's five people here. Let's fucking play harder than we've ever played and blow these five motherfuckers away.
Yeah.
And we would. And it just felt good after that to be like, whatever, we're all the way down here. Let's fucking kill it. And then let's go to the bar and play, put quarters into bad dudes and save the fucking president.
Nice.
Go to some cool house party and chill afterwards.
I mean, I can't ever remember the four of us having like a major disagreement about anything writing wise or on the road or you know.
One time I parked next to a truck full of dead fish apparently.
I was pissed.
Pookie's a pretty classically bad driver.
I don't really remember that well.
I made you back by driving a long way from Madison and going back to Chicago. What goes around coming?
I don't even really remember. But Gabe, I couldn't fucking sleep because you parked next to one truck. One truck in the whole lot, and you parked next to it and dead fish in the back. We were so tired. I was like, we just got to sleep for a bit.
Gabe likes to get sleep.
I don't remember where we were
going. Game requires a good...
Let's drive overnight and then not sleep and try to play 100 miles an hour. Yeah. Sounds good.
I got a lot of good tour stories.
You mean I have to sleep in this patch of grass at a truck stop and listen to crickets? Oh, this is...
Oh, crickets. Oh, my God.
I think I was blackout and I passed out before any of that even happened.
Yeah.
I think I threw up in the park.
All those old mini DV tapes I pulled back up.
I threw up in front of a family and then passed out.
It's me with the camera... Like in the van, and Dan's passed out in the van. Oh, bud. Thanks for helping me, bud. I was a dead issue. I'm like, you are a dead issue, bro. You are a dead issue right now. That's the biggest beer I've ever drank in my life.
That was the night when he lost his shoe and wouldn't shut up.
Lost his shoe.
Drank the boot.
Well, he spent about an hour looking for a shoe somewhere in a bush and like.
I didn't want the boot. I got the boot.
We were up there with a celebrity autopsy.
That was Ian's party.
No, that was just a random show in Elgin.
It was my birthday. My friend Amy helped us with shows up in the Chicago and Elgin area. And she's incredible. Her and Vito and the whole Chicago crew that's like still up there doing punk and hardcore shows at like Quenchers and... Reggie's and Ronnie's and wherever the fucking Ponchos or wherever the fuck we used to play. And it was my birthday and I drank a bunch of Sparks and she's like, oh, they have this giant glass boot that holds like 200 ounces of beer. I'll get it for you.
It was
massive. I'm good. And then the bartender's like, you're not local, bro. It's only for locals. I'm like, I don't even want it. It's fine. Don't get it out. And our friend Amy was like, no, they're my friends. Give them the boot. And they filled it up with like 200 ounces of Miller. And then, of course, I have to drink. Like, then I felt obligated to drink it, even though Brad does have on tape maybe the last 20 ounces just getting poured onto the floor. Like, I don't want this anymore, so I'll just pour it out. Probably thought I was outside, wasn't. And then I ran in circles screaming, I'm a circle for a while. And then I broke her toilet and lost a sheet.
That was like some big like reunion show up there. Like it was like a big deal that the band that we were playing with like got back together and played. I cannot remember what their name was. They have like a little bit of footage of it. That place was packed. That was the Gast House up in Elgin.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we ripped it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
What do you guys feel was the height of all that? Like the
probably like, playing the fest.
Yeah, the fest was amazing. There was some really like I don't have a bad memory of the band. No.
Yeah, we got quite a few. Yeah, more than one. We had quite a few magazine mentions and what have you. And
right.
Back then, I mean, that was a pretty big deal.
Scott Heisler from Alternative Press liked our band, and he was a dude that he was kind of the tastemaker in hardcore and punk rock.
He definitely
and
was.
He dug our shit, so that was made us all feel really good. And
at the time, I mean, AP was still. I mean, if AP said it was good, that was a big deal. It was a big deal back then. This is late 2010s sometime. And, you know, I subscribed to it for quite a while. And, you know, I got a lot of the newer bands. I mean, I think the first time I ever heard, like, Polar Bear Club was in AP. They were one of the 100 bands.
Now we're old bands that are in there. Weird.
Yeah.
Who's on the cover of, like, our big spread?
Cobra Starship.
Cobra Starship.
Which is, he's from, like, he was in, like, Midtown or something like that.
Tegan and Sarah.
Midtown was pretty tight.
Well, yeah, maybe. Sure. Tegan and Sarah are incredible, so to be in the same magazine as them.
But that was kind of where things started jumping the ship a little bit, as far as, like, the covers that they had, like, Cobra Starship was garbage.
Yeah. But whatever, we were just
now
like...
Now we're trash.
But I was always stoked for that 100 bands to...
UAP.
Every year they had 100 bands to know that you needed to know. And for the most part, they were all pretty legitimate, good bands. And that was super awesome to be a part of. Huh?
It was helpful.
Yeah.
Was it after that we got... You probably already said this, but we did the Warped Tour... Ernie Ball stage, whatever.
Yeah, we won a contest to be in that, which was crazy.
Our van broke down in our hometown. In the middle of the highway. Lanes in the highway.
Yeah. Our van, where were we coming back from? We were
in
like
6 miles and we broke
Charlottesville,
down.
Charlottesville, Tennessee. We're on our way back from
Clarksville.
And we're on our way back from like a week of shows or a weekend or like maybe a 4 or 5 day run. There's a lot of bands out there that like, hey, we're going on tour. Man, you're doing a 3 day run. Stop saying it's a tour,
it's not
first
a tour.
Of all. It's not a tour. Going on a 3 day little run. Fine. We're on our way back.
Lil Run. L-I-L apostrophe.
Lil Run. Yeah, that's my new SoundCloud rapper name. Lil Run. Check me out. It's like 106 degrees the middle of the day, and we're just sitting, and the fucking van caught on fire. Legitimately caught on fire.
It was awful.
Because there was a rat's nest. The rats had built a nest in the engine. And it was crazy.
A rat's nest and like an ant farm.
Yeah. We got towed, and the tow truck driver like didn't charge us, let us like lay in the van, like all this stuff, and then the auto parts guys like helped us
giving
out.
Giving us rides and stuff. Yeah.
Then we didn't have AAA, but the hotel gave us like a AAA and like a student discount, and we drank all, like, with it, Sparks was gone, so we drank all this juice and watched the car.
Purple juice and natty ice, I think, is what we were drinking that night.
Are you going to tell the best part, though? I like, because it was like 110. It was fucking
hot. It was
hot.
And middle of Tennessee.
We finally get off, they tow us to this hotel, and we're like, just take us to one with a pool. So we get to this one with the pool, and we're so stoked. We strip our clothes off. We're like, fuck this, we're running.
Down all our clothes.
And we jump in, and you can already smell it. Like, you know, like it smells like bleach or chlorine or whatever. They fucked the pool up. And so, and it was full of chemicals. There were like little kids crying and shit. Our eyes are burning and shit. Gabe got out in his boxers, and they were bleached white.
Mine were pink. As they were like gray going in.
We were so pissed because all of
our eyes are red.
Swim in this damn pool.
And then there was a tornado.
there was a tornado
that night.
We got so
Cardinals were on ESPN. They lost.
The part that we ordered wasn't going to be in until the next morning. We like overnighted the part. It was like this little valve. I got up at like 7 o'clock in the morning. It was still like 90 degrees and had that whole van torn apart, my head inside the engine, put this valve in, and we drove back.
That's the microcosm of disappeared. We tried so hard, and I feel like we had a great product. Like, our band was awesome. Ripper songs, our live show was great. But man, God just cast her cane down on us every chance she got. Like, oh, you're gonna play the fest and Scott Heisel's gonna come see it? Cool, guess what? Power's out.
Power's out. At your
one tour, van broke down. Cool tour. The one tour that we did, first show that we played was at like a skate house in Nashville.
Oh yeah.
We had to pull down this. It's like the first day, like a 13-day, like this big tour, like 13 days or something, big tour for us. And we had to like pull down this fucking driveway. And when we were done playing, and we're trying to back out and through a hose. And we're like, great, day one, our van's broken.
First day.
We clamped it. We go to a hotel, and there was this like older dude. Who, like, was he, like, trying to sell us a bag of weed or something? And we're like, nah, we're good. He's like, what's up with your van? I'm a mechanic. We're like, yeah, we're from St. Louis. We're a band. We're on tour. And he's like, oh, shit, no shit. I'm from St. Genevieve. Or there's that older black gentleman who was, like, a mechanic. And he helped us fix the fucking van. He fucking fixed it. And we were back on the road. And it was like, God.
Made it the rest of the
world. No, that's...
Oh,
I think about that all the time, though. We
so much.
I'm biased
that.
Because I think that this band is. I think we're fucking great, and I think we worked really hard at what
Depends
we did,
on the day.
And we put out great products, and we put out we put on a great live show, and it's just like, I think there's something about kind of being stuck in like this middle America. We're not Chicago, they're their own fucking thing, but we're not, it's tough being, especially
if we would have toured for months on end.
And we were also at the point where I think we kind of started the Disappeared a little late into like our
lives,
our touring lives. What I mean? We were all like 30 years old, almost 30 years old when we started the band, and that makes it hard to really be able to go out and okay, we're fucking dropping everything. We're going on the road for fucking 2 months, whatever. That wasn't ever going to happen.
Right.
But at the same time, when the internet was starting to happen and things were getting a lot more accessible.
The internet as we know it.
Yeah, as we know it. It just seems like
MySpace.
We just never kind of caught the breaks that a lot of other bands have caught. And it's cool. I don't have any regrets about it.
We had a good run.
No fucking regrets about what we did. And
we had more fun than anybody else.
Oh my God, we absolutely.
Sure.
Dude, we would go. Other guys we would play shows with bands. And
in a hotel room on their laptops. And like, bro, there's a pool and a wiffle ball bat and 700 beers. What's wrong with you? Let's get naked and rip them.
But now we don't really care. We're just going to play a couple shows or so a year and make some new music probably and just have fun.
My whole thing was
continue having fun.
Go on tour with Bruno Mars.
You start seeing, and it's happened a lot, and it's was just completely coincidental that like all these bands that we grew up listening to, Quicksand and Hot Water, and like all these bands are like putting out new records, and they're like, why the fuck shouldn't we play again? You know what I mean?
I think we kind of got our lives like. Like you were going to school and there was things that just were really hard to work around, and now everybody's kind of like locked in more to what they're...
I had my rap career.
Dan had his rap career. Lil Run.
I think at the time too, we've... And now playing these songs again at practice and everything is giving them like a few years to breathe. Like,
sure.
When we decided to kind of take a little bit of a break, I was just bored with the songs. We had been playing them all the time and we'd gotten busy and people, had other projects and I was changing careers and we just weren't practicing a lot. We weren't writing at all. So it was like, okay, well, if we're not playing that much and we're not practicing that much and we're not writing, just kind of hang out for a little while, see what happens. Now it's like playing these songs at practice. I'm like, these are fucking good songs. These are fun.
It's fun again.
These are fun songs to play.
These are fucking great. It makes me realize how bad I got. How the hell did I do this? Some weird riff and like, what the fuck is this? Do you have this on videotape somewhere?
Is that a guitar I'm playing?
Yeah. I don't even know what this is. Now I'm playing DGC.
David Geffen coming.
David Geffen. Ooh.
What do you think, Shane?
We've been talking this entire time.
All right.
Which I knew would happen.
We really like to talk about ourselves.
Yeah.
Especially Pookie being naked with his penis stuck between his legs.
Oh, I knew it was going to come.
Mangina.
Yeah. I think Kenny was asking for it recently.
Who?
How do you get that on podcast?
He posted a comment on something like he was asking for it. He was asking for the big V.
Oh, no. I have to look that one up. I like it. The best one was I was at Cicero's one time. We played a big show. It was like Cuban Missiles, a bunch of our buds, and
Sing the Bismarck, maybe.
Yeah, Sing the Bismarck, and then I don't know. I thought it was gonna be funny because I heard all my friends like outside the door, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna get them with this mangina. That was my thing. And, like,
that was my thing.
So I opened the door.
Trademark.
I'm at Cicero's and I just like open the door and I'm like, let's party! And it was like no one I knew. It was just a bunch of people.
The Cicero's had the bathroom outside and was like, oh, you're in the restaurant. Like, you're not in the venue, you're in the restaurant.
I'm like, man.
And all those people partied.
Glad no one turned me in.
Cold dick.
I was tucked between your thighs.
But that would come out on the road a lot.
It was an icebreaker. Yeah. That's the way I look at it.
It's a good icebreaker. Technically, it wouldn't come out.
This is why when we went on the road, everybody thought we were fucking weirdos.
We were weirdos. But
we would roll up with like two coolers full of.
Because we were people that didn't have
we could find that was
people,
cheap.
Anytime people would hang out with us, they would drop like flies. So I think eventually we just started having this force field around us. People were like, nah.
Your band was like, cool, but you're weird.
We play a lot of like little small town Illinois and Indiana shows that Pookie would hook us up with from his days back in Calico, and we would just show up with like a 12 pack of Sparks and fucking
40 Natty Ice,
whatever liquor we could find for shots.
The first couple, like when he first joined the band, and we would do these like shows in small town Indiana, like Ligoti and Huntingburg and stuff. We pulled up in the van this one night, and he's annihilated, and it's like 4 p.m., 5 p.m. There's a line of like 35 kids in Calico System shirts outside of the van.
We're like, just looking
dude,
for Pookie.
He's in the back
just
seat,
looking
like,
for Pookie.
How you feeling, Pookie? Iced. Well, there's a line of fucking kids outside that want to talk to you at Teen Town.
Shit.
And then we played, and they ripped that motherfucker down. All running over the fucking foosball and pool tables and like hanging from the ceiling. That was great. Yeah, this is your local venue. Rip the shit up.
Yeah. Tear it down, man. Hey.
We had a place like that. You guys might have even played it. Out in Wentzville, where they had the Midwest Music Pit there, and it was like,
that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Did they move that to, or maybe have a second location at some point?
Yeah, I think
St. Peter's.
I think so.
We played that one.
Yeah.
It sounded like shit in there.
Yeah. It was just a...
That
was,
tell us how you really feel. My old band. An old band. That was like 40 bands ago.
Right. Yeah. This is just... I mean, it was just like kind of a...
cool place, though.
Yeah, just a, you know, teen garage band kind of gave us a stage to play, and my friends would... I didn't play. My friends played, and I would go support them, but we, you know, it was one of those low ceilings, everybody hanging on the rafters, and it would, like, you know, just get crazy in there.
Gives the kids somewhere to go.
Yep.
I played a lot of places like that, man. Like,
here's the question.
Little youth centers.
Maybe we're old now. I don't know. Because I asked my cousin. He's 10 years younger. And he plays a band and shit. Like, I feel like that doesn't... I don't know. Does that exist?
Like the youth center type show? Like, that kind of stuff?
I don't know. I remember going to VFW Hall.
I hope it
going
does.
To, like, you
there's
know,
that Kismet place, which I've never been to, but I've heard about
it. Yeah, Kismet's good.
I hope it does. I mean, I think you get old and you just don't know about
maybe
the
I'm just,
like
yeah, maybe
I mean, I don't know. I think...
Pops is also very... I mean, the Road to Point Fest and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, they let there's a lot of young kids that get their start in there and
think,
other bands.
I don't know about how this town is. I mean, but I feel like in other kind of similar type towns around the country, there's definitely like a younger. You see some of these bands coming up, like, you know, in Pennsylvania. When we played with Title Fight that first time, they were like 18 years old.
Oh yeah,
and they pretty much cultivated that entire scene in Pennsylvania when they were like 18 years old, and they played like youth centers and stuff like that.
Yep.
St. Louis has never really kind of had that thing, but like just outside of it has, because even when I was
felt
in,
like we were,
me and Dan's old band, A Picture Book of Saints, we played quite a few shows at like youth centers and
the Illinois
stuff
side
like that.
W
like,
Hall and bowling alleys and
Peoria,
whatever.
We'd go up there and like play some youth center. We played this one time in Hazard, Kentucky, like this weird like town of like 1,000 people, and there was like this just this little youth center, and like every kid that lived in this town was at the show. We played with like this band called Bear vs. Shark. They used to be on Equal Vision, rad band. And there was like 100 kids there, and they were all going crazy, and they're buying stuff, and there was nothing
to,
in this town.
To have like random out of town dates for a band that isn't a big band, or, you know, you would play these small towns, and the kids like don't have anything to do. So it's like you're that's the one thing going on. So.
I feel like maybe
advice to like tour bands that want to tour, but you know they don't really have a, you know, they're going to these big cities and playing 10 people because.
But I think some of that stuff is going by the wayside too, because there's, I mean, one, there's so many fests now, so like you can drive to the closest town and see whatever band you want to see at a fest, and the internet is always there and YouTube is always there, and you can like, well, I just don't, you know, I don't know. I'm almost 40 years old, so I don't know if there's still youth center shows going around. I'm sure there are in some places, but, you know, those were always some of the funnest shows because the kids were
small town shows.
Always into it. I brought up the Hazard, Kentucky show that we played with Bear vs. Shark and Picture
Book.
We were talking about youth center shows and stuff like that. Like just some weird ass place in the middle of absolutely nowhere, but it was packed with kids because that's all they had to do.
And then we played Knoxville and hung out with the Gin Blossoms. Wasn't it the Gin Blossoms?
I don't know. Real, it sounds like a good story.
That was before me.
Yeah,
that was,
yeah,
that was our old band.
Knoxville, Rocksville. Knoxville is actually a weird segue because our second record, Radical Miracle, was put out on CD by our friend Robert Coons,
who Rock
had a, record label called The New Beat, which me and Dan's old band was on, and he put out the CD version of that, which was super cool of him to do. He didn't have to do it, and I think, you know, he sent me a bunch of CDs leading up to our last show a few years ago, and it's just weird how things come full circle.
Yeah, he was an awesome dude. Yeah, super That's cool. Where we met Moneen, the Neeners, and which, Park, and
We ended up having a little run in with.
Those dudes were awesome.
It's crazy. I was just thinking, you know, all these road stories and, like, you know, you're saying stuff about the van breaking down and stuff when all these moments, but, like, it does sound like you guys always had people there to help out along the way, though, too. I mean, like, ran into that guy who happened to be a mechanic and fixed the car.
Gives you crazy good people.
Even some of our close friends, like, from the very beginning. I mean,
we still have that van, by the way.
Yeah. 11 years. Yeah, I sold it to Pookie for $1.
10 years.
I think I gifted it to him for $1. It was something like that, so we didn't have to pay
10 year vaniversary.
Come out to the sinkhole on April 14th. And you can take a picture with us by the first van. It's 10-year anniversary.
And everybody loves that van.
No, but, I mean, even from the very beginning, I mean, just, like, some of our close friends were, like, you know, our friend DJ has always just been, like, the best fan ever. It's, like, he came on the road with us. He stands up front. He sings every word, you know. He tells everybody about our band. You know, we've had so many people like that. And, you know, funny enough, like, the reason, like, I think, not really the reason, but when we always said from the, you know, the last show, like, it wasn't going to be the last show. I think we all knew that.
It was the farewell for now.
Last show, right? Indefinitely.
The farewell for now.
We all knew it wasn't going to be the last show. But we didn't know when the next show was going to be. Well, then last summer, a friend of ours who was just, I mean, he had our back from the beginning. He did some artwork for us all the time for T-shirts, and he was always hyping us. He was in Vegas. His name was Eric Fritz. He passed away last summer. We all went to his memorial service, and that's when Dan came up. He's like, it's probably time to start playing shows again. And, like, I think it's probably that time, you know? And Fritz was just one of those dudes who was, you know,
he did our first T-shirt design,
you know, he just...
I blog about you guys. I just love when you would say that. He's the sweetest fucking dude.
Yeah.
And we would always blog about you, dude.
He was just always positive about
punk rock, and just wanted to just hang out and listen to good music and, you know, just spread the word of punk rock. And, you know, he moved away and we kind of lost touch a little bit, but, you know, when he passed away, it was like, why not play?
Right.
Yeah.
So and I think we're the band, too, that if you looked at every cover that we did, I mean, we did an entire cover set of Kid Dynamite songs. We used to do Neil Young,
so rad.
Avail, Bouncing Souls,
Dillinger Four.
I'm thinking
Quicksand Helmet.
We did a whole set of Quicksand and Helmet songs,
pinnacle of my life. They're my two favorite.
New Year's Eve at Lemons.
Phil Collins and Philip Bailey Ray.
Phil Collins,
Easy Lover cover.
That was so tight.
But that was the whole point of the band, was like, don't ever tell us what the fuck to do. Don't ever pigeonhole us. Don't ever tell us
what we're supposed to
be. This is what hardcore is supposed to be. This is what punk rock is supposed to be. Well, fuck you. We'll do exactly what we want, whenever we want, and we'll watch baseball and drink beers at the end of the day and still kill your band.
That's one of the things, too. It's like we've always kind of been in this, like, middle ground of, like, okay, well, they're a punk rock band, but they're not really a pop punk band, and they're kind of hardcore, but they're not really a hardcore band, and... because we listen to everything.
We like to keep you guessing.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, so you listen to some of the covers that we played, and it's, you can tell what our influences are, and they're all over the map. And mine still are. They're still all over the map. You know what I mean? And everybody else's
same here.
Influences in this band are all over the map.
Yeah.
You know, everybody listens to different things. I still listen to ska, and I don't care what anybody thinks about it. I think it's amazing.
The Siren Six is such a good band. I listen to Siren Six.
Gabe just recorded a ska band last weekend. Yeah. And they were really fucking good.
Yeah, they are good.
Boomtown?
Boomtown, yeah.
And those guys are
great dudes, great band. Yeah.
Yeah, I love their sound. They, and you know, like you're saying,
but they're real, they're like real ska.
Yeah, 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 they're real two tone ska.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Some people hear like you say ska to some people, and they're like, well, some people are like, what's that? And other people are like, oh, Less Than Jake,
really fish,
yeah, or like, yeah,
really,
which Goldfinger, cool, right?
Mighty Mighty Boss.
So I think just people's perception of what's what.
Brad is a man.
Brad's a huge boss.
Favorite band of all time.
Yeah.
And the everything's so diluted with subgenres and this and that. It's hard, you know, you can't expect somebody that's not into music or in the music scene to know the difference between this and that.
People have done like research and like know the history of ska. Know,
but Shane, you're the perfect example of guy who just, you love music.
Yeah, it's,
Your podcast.
Your podcast is all over the map, which is awesome, dude. Yeah. You know, like what you're doing for this city and just spreading the word. It's
such a clicky town, too. Like,
right, everybody gets in
the
pocket.
The metal scene, punk scene.
You're the guy busting that all up.
The rock scene, whatever, you know. It's hard to get out of that. And I guess most towns are probably like that, but, you know, it's good to have somebody that is a little bit of a link to all of that.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm hoping to sort of be that thread that connects everybody, like, you know.
You really are. I mean, obviously, I follow you on all this stuff, and there's shit I see all the time.
I've been saying it for a long time.
What the hell is that? All right. That's cool. Cool.
The city needs, as big as podcasts are getting, the city definitely needs somebody like you who's, spreading the word, because there's not anybody doing it. There's, like, nobody doing it. There's so much music in this town.
The only thing that you need is, like, a fart sound guy.
Yes.
Like, hey, this is Shane.
I got a little Minions toot gun that you can borrow.
Fart. Hey, guys. Like, the sound effects guy. Hey.
Right.
Boogie has a mangina.
I always wanted that reggae air horn sound effect, you know, when...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, guys. It's
party. You ever saying cheers to you, Shane?
Yeah, man. I'm trying. I'm trying to make some things happen. It's awesome, though. I'm having the time of my life, like, running around doing the show, meeting everybody, and so that's awesome, man.
Excellent.
Yeah.
We got to get you that goddamn van so everybody can play in the back of that goddamn van.
There you go. Maybe we'll.
Eat a flatbed.
Yeah. Should have done the podcast.
We'll roll around the back of the flat.
Should have done this podcast in the van.
Your chestnut got money, baby. Your chestnut got money. Go hit them up. For the Lee boys working over chestnut, they got millions over there.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars. Come on, they just a shadow company for Anheuser-Busch. They got all the money. Tell them to buy a van for you, baby.
That's how they get away with them Papa Tops.
Right. Hey, that's illegal.
You're not supposed to have that shit.
They got all the money and they're trying so hard to be cool. Let them be cool. Buy Shane a van. You hear me, Florian? Buy him a van.
Yeah. Yeah,
nothing to them.
I just think that would be fun. That, I don't know if you guys heard that idea, but I've been wanting to do like a, make like a mobile studio in a van and
like cruise around. Like in the van.
Yeah.
It'd be great. Thing. Who's the one who does that? That like,
you get a fake
Gary Clark Jr. has done it, and like some big names.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Vans or somebody that has like a little van, and you get in there and jam. But who does the one that I always see, like Jam in the Van or whatever?
That's the name of the series. I don't know.
Oh, that's like somebody's broadcast.
Yeah.
Or is it a vlog?
I think
was born in 79. Yeah. I don't know all the terms. Yeah. So.
I think it's just their YouTube series. It's pretty great, though. But there's other ideas that are similar to that. That's one of my favorites, but I just think that would be pretty awesome to cruise around and do the show from the studio, or from, you know, inside the van in the mobile studio like that. Yeah. And
we really want to
keep your eye on Craigslist, man.
What happened to the Fuck Off and Dives party sucker bus? They had a sucker bus.
Transmission
blew out. Right, yeah.
Yeah, sucker bus.
Sucker bus.
That's what happens.
Damn. You need to buy a van on
Craigslist from a dude in Lime who has a bunch of race cars in his garage for $2,500 that only has 30,000 miles on it.
Shame we played.
Lasted 10 years.
One show with the straight edge band from Indiana, and by the end of the night, they were not straight edge. They were partying, fuck off a dice band, dancing on the stripper pole, and they were all puking by the end of the night. We're straight edge. Oh, that's cool. But I mean, I guess we'd try one of those beers.
Was that when we played outside?
Was
that when we all played outside?
Yeah, we played it that.
Yeah. Us, the fuck off and dies, sidelined, and McCree. In a park, in a pavilion in Indiana, one of those small towns in Indiana.
We flipped sideline in about 35 minutes.
Maybe like 20 people showed up. Because I don't know. It was poorly organized, but
it used to be a town where a lot of kids came. But it was so
we can bet that all that was less Pookie's than the bands,
fault. We'll just blame that one on Pookie.
We made a park party out of it.
Yeah, it was an American flag vest and fireworks.
and that kid from sideline always used to wear that American flag vest.
Yeah,
we're straight edge. Yeah, that's cool.
They're a great band. They still
they were so straight edge. They went absolutely insane when they played live. That's how straight edge they were.
Yeah.
You quite go that crazy.
Didn't take long.
Well,
anything else you would like to know from us, Shane?
No, he's like, nah, I'm done.
Like, Jesus Christ, you guys have been talking for 50 minutes.
Really hey. Pushing to have this show recorded at Twin Peaks, but
the restaurant.
The restaurant.
There's a lot of outside noise.
Not all great ideas come to fruition, you know.
And we'll next save.
I lightly broached whether or Wisconsin not we should do it at a bar, and he said it was going to be a little. I didn't quite say it should be at Twin Peaks. I didn't know.
that was an idea we threw around.
Some people would be offended by that.
Oh, whatever. But.
We could be cleaning the hot sauce off our fingertips right now. Yeah. But no, we're sitting here in the studio starving.
I guess Gabe hasn't eaten dinner yet.
Well, you can get involved with the Disappeared on Facebook and Instagram. You can
hit us up on Insta. We got a new t-shirt out. We're going to have it at the show.
And you can listen to the tunes on Spotify.
It's all on Spotify.
iTunes. Spotify, Bandcamp. We actually have, me and Gabe recorded.
Been there for years.
Pretty sweet High Standard cover on Bandcamp that's still on there. Yeah. I tried to listen to it the other day. I've listened to it so many times they won't let me do it without paying for it. You know?
It's all there.
Pay for your music.
Jump around your leg and buy the break real a lamp stuff. And then come out to the show.
Buy the real stuff. I think we should. I'm gonna pick up stock of some vinyl and stuff. We should have at the show.
Yeah.
Get some more CDs.
April 14th, Sink Hole. Come get your shit shook.
Yeah. That's it. Mm-hmm.
We'll peel your cap. What kind of gangster rap do?
Yeah. Dome piece blown.
Yeah.
That was a Thad. Bad Martin.
Dome piece. You blew my dome piece.
After
bro.
He flat ironed his hair.
Yeah, you did blow it off because you had a fucking flat iron.
I love you, Thad. I love you.
We all went to his wedding. We love him.
Oh, God. Thanks, Shane.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thanks, Shane.
See you the 14th, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll come out and get wild.
Yeah, it's gonna be nuts.
Seriously, right. His nuts.
Yeah, his nuts. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Waiting for therapy to go away. If I wouldn't know in the way.
Worthy disappeared.
And you're about to party with Pookie on the Rock Paper Podcast.
I can't even say it right. Just put that shit again.
That was perfect.
Podcast. You got me laughing too fucking much.
Podcast. That was it.
One take only, Jenny. It's 2-inch tape. We can't go back.
Oh, it's going to be perfect.
I think that was perfect.
I fucked that all up.
I hope you're still recording.
Oh, I fucked that all up. Oh, send us all this.
You guys get me laughing too much.
All right. One more time.
Oh, I think that needs to
be. I think that was it. But
I think it's perfect.
Shane, it's your show. What the fuck do you think?
He's like, I don't know what the fuck I'm
We're like this about. All the time.
I'll definitely run it, so.
We're the disappeared and we're like this all the time.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. Check them out in the Grand Center area down there in the Dot Zec building. If you're not in the St. Louis area, you can shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. They got a lot of fun stuff coming up, including Record Store Day on April 21st. So check out recordstoreday.com for further details regarding some of the exclusive releases coming out that day and stuff. But that'll be a fun one. Come on out and participate in Record Store Day. Support your local record stores. And you can check out, they got a lot of fun things going on over there, like with autographs, a lot of signed records from artists coming through town. I know Judah and the Lion just did a meet and greet and signing over there, so, you know, keep a lookout for some signed records from them and, you know, all kinds of people. So, again, everything is at musicrecordshop.com. You can follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And, yeah, shop local.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.